Okay, question. True confession time. Ooh. All right, by a show of hands, and it's okay, you're among friends. How many people have ever fallen asleep in church? Okay, leave your hands up. Leave your hands up. How about that? Really? Wow. Cool. All right, leave your hands up. How many people have ever fallen asleep in this church?
During a sermon or on a weekend? What's your amendment to
sleeping? I'm not going to touch it. Leave your hands up. How many people have ever fallen asleep in church, in this church, while this guy was preaching? Praise God. There's some honest folks here, man. I applaud your honesty, man. Yes, give these guys a round of applause, man, because they just bare their soul. That's me. Well, look. No, you might as well not lie, because I can see you. When your head goes back over the seat and your jaw drops open and drool starts running down your chin, I see that. Yeah, put it under this one, because if they're asleep, then this ought to change. Praise God. I remember a few years ago, I'm so tempted to tell the name, but I'm not going to. A former member of our church years ago, before I became pastor, Promise Keepers, that big men's, you know, group that swept the nation for a while, Promise Keepers was having a men's convention in Easton. They rented the auditorium there, and they packed it out, man. I mean, guys from all over the place were there. And they had some great music. They had some awesome speakers. And this one guy was preaching. And, I mean, he just had the place riveted. This guy just, you know, everybody was on their edge of their seat. And he's telling this story. I don't even remember what the story was, but I remember he was telling the story. And he's building it up, and he's building it up. You're wondering where it's going, so you're hanging on every word. And everybody is just riveted, and you're just like, wow, man, where is this? And he's building and building. And finally, right at the climax of the story, he pauses for effect. And for a moment, there's dead silence in this place. And suddenly behind me, I hear this loud, long, deep, let me see if I can get the effect here. My friend from church, one of ours, okay, sitting behind me. I don't know. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he had a sleep disorder, but I think the dude was just, I don't know. And you could hear it all over the entire auditorium because the place had just become dead silent. And I kind of looked over my shoulder, and he's, you know, he's like this. And his two twin sons, not mentioning any names. Some of you old timers know one. His two twin sons were sitting there. They were in their teens, looking at me with their eyes wide. And my eyes were as big as saucers. The next thing I know, I busted out. I had to cover my mouth. It was so funny. And I'm just like, I'm trying, well, I didn't want to embarrass the speaker further, so I'm trying not to laugh too loud. I'm like, but he was good. He didn't let it rattle him. He just went on with his story and kept on going. Man. Well, we're going to meet a guy in Scripture today who fell asleep in church. Not only fell asleep in church, fell out the window to his death under the preaching of the Apostle Paul. We're going to meet this guy, but we're going to see that he fell asleep probably for an entirely different reason than most folks fall asleep in church. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there with me to Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. I'm going to use the NIV this time. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to put it up on the overhead anyway. Fascinating story, man. I just love it. I can really sympathize with this guy. It's actually pretty cool. We are doing our study of the book of Acts. This is part 41. We'll get to the end of this book eventually. The book of Acts basically is an account of after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and then right before he ascended up to heaven, he said, hey, you guys, I want you to take the good news of the gospel out to the world, that whoever puts their faith in me will be saved. And then he ascended up to heaven to sit on the throne of heaven. And then he poured out the Holy Spirit and sent them out. And this is the book of what happened when those guys went out to tell the word about Jesus Christ. So, chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is in the city of Troas. And this is what happened. This, by the way, is Luke telling this story. You've heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is Luke who's writing this. On the first day of the week. When's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Thank you, brother. That's right. On Sunday. On the first day of the week. Don't you love it when your husband does that? He's just like, I don't know him. Bro, dude, man, that's right. Sunday, man. What day is it today?
Sunday.
Sunday. Haven't you been waiting all week for this?
Yes.
Awesome. On the first day of the week, Sunday, we came together to break bread. That was like, it was a combination of what they called an agape meal, where everybody brought food. It was a feast of love with one another. And also they had communion during that time. They would take the bread and the wine and the elements. We came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, because he had to go preach the gospel somewhere else, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Now, Luke, as we know, was not only a historian, he was a physician. And so if the guy was dead, he knew he was dead. There was no doubt. Not mostly dead. Dude was dead. Was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, presumably praying. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again, broke bread, and ate. And after talking until when? They're talking until daylight. Okay, they started around dinner time, around 6 o'clock. He preached till midnight. The guy fell out the window and died. He raised him from the dead, went back, had communion, and preached until? Yikes. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Praise God. I guess they were. Can you imagine when the dust, when that dude hit the ground, boom, and the pit in their stomach? Oh my gosh, what Eutychus? Whoa, dude! And how the people, it must have just rocked their world. This dude fell out the window, and Paul comes, throws his arms around him, and the Spirit of God falls on that young man, and he literally raises him back to life. Man, that's having church. That's worth waiting for. Praise God. Man. So let me ask you this. How would you like to be Eutychus? Dennis, nah. Think about it. Okay. He eventually died again, didn't get raised the next time. He eventually lived his life, he died. And for the last 2,000, we're still talking about the dude today. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Eutychus. For the last 2,000 years, his legacy in life was that he was the guy that fell out the window while Paul was preaching and died. You know, you're the guy that, yeah. Can you imagine in heaven, you know, all for 2,000 years, all the folks that die and go to heaven, they eventually, I guess, meet this guy, Eutychus, and, you know, they're like, you know, hi, I'm Bob. Hi, I'm Eutychus. Eutychus, aren't you that guy? What? That fell asleep? Yeah, that's me. Fell asleep, fell out the window. Thanks for reminding me. For the last 2,000 years. Do you know where else Eutychus is mentioned in the Bible? Nowhere. That's it. That's his story. The dude who fell asleep, fell out the window and died. Now, believe it or not, that's actually not a bad thing. Actually not a bad thing. Because I would submit to you today, that unlike most people who fall asleep in church out of boredom, and I know there's a lot of other reasons people might fall asleep. Maybe they were tired. They were up late. Maybe they didn't get to sleep till 4:30. Maybe they've got a sleeping disorder. Maybe, you know, whatever other number of reasons. I would first of all say probably most people who fall asleep in church fall asleep out of boredom. Why? Because so many churches are frankly boring. You can't believe the preacher said that. Yeah, of course they are. You know they are. That's why you come here instead. What? I have been in some boring churches. I was a kid. We went to midnight mass. Sorry. But it was painful. They went on and on and on and on. I didn't even understand the language they were talking in. I understood nothing. You know, the wooden pew, I don't know why they even call them pews, because it stinks to sin in them, because it was so hard. It hurt. And I was like, please, let's go home. I want Christmas. It was Christmas Eve. It was that midnight mass. You know, I think we got out of there at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm all of 10 years old, and I'm just in agony. But I've been in churches as an adult that had me in agony. I'm like, please, stop. But I would submit to you today that unlike the vast majority of people who fall asleep in church out of boredom, I would submit to you that Eutychus actually fell asleep out of excitement. He didn't fall asleep out of boredom. He fell asleep out of excitement. I can see your face. I know what you're thinking. Dude, that's stupid. Nobody falls asleep out of excitement. What are you trying to pull here? Give me a break. How do you fall asleep in church out of excitement? Where in the world do you get that out of this passage? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. All right. How do you fall asleep out of excitement? How do Eutychus fall asleep out of excitement? Let's start by looking at some facts. Okay, let's look at this passage. Number one, they stayed until midnight. True? Everybody agree? Now, most folks will tolerate a long-winded preacher if he goes an hour. Some will tolerate if he goes an hour and a half. You start pressing 2 hours, man, there's few people polite enough to hang in there. Some will do it. They're just, you know, very gracious people. You start going over 2 hours, man, people are like, you know, I got to go to the restroom. I'm out of here. You know, there's a limit to people's tolerance and patience. You start going 6 hours, you know. The only reason anybody will stay until midnight when someone is preaching is because they are absolutely, utterly, completely engaged in what that guy has to say. They have got to be riveted. He has got to be holding them in the palm of his hand on the edge of their seat to go 6 hours. Nobody does 6 hours just to be polite. I won't do that just to be polite. And I'm a polite guy. I've had a guy, God bless him. And I know he hears me because he's in heaven now. And brother, I love you, man. I love you. This was just, you know, the way it was. Went to go get breakfast for Missy at Safeway. Went to go pick up some muffins or something. And I come out I guess it was around 8 o'clock in the morning. Come out the store. And there's my friend in the parking lot who will remain nameless. He's with the Lord now. And I'm thinking, oh, help.